2 Kings chapter 5. So I want to talk to you this morning. And I want to preach to you this morning. And I want to teach you this morning. And I want to help you this morning. I want to help you this morning. Every once in a while I say something, people roll their eyes. That's why I want to help you. What'd you say? That's right. You need it. Now Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. She waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go. I was sent a letter unto the king of Israel, and he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God? Kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know. He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him, said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." Let the church say amen. Our Father, I pray now in these moments that you would cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Do a great work. And help me to do nothing to mess it up. We love you and thank you for being God, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So I would describe myself as a thinker. I think my wife would agree with me. My wheel's always turning. There's something always going on in the head. So I've got one of these crazy minds. It races while I'm sleeping, and I wake up and try to figure out whether the dream was real or not. But I'm a thinker. I got a bunch of dreams in my head. I feel like they all have pagers, and they're waiting for when it's their turn to get something done. I've always been a passionate person, full of passion. I feel if you're going to do something, you might as well do it your best. I mean, what's the use of doing something if you're not going to give it everything you have? Sometimes you'll fail, but you better fail trying instead of failing by not trying at all. Love. I love people. I love being around people. I love fellowshipping people. I love eating with people. I love talking to people. I love praying for people. I love conversing with people. Because at the end of the day, life boils down to two things: God and people. Nothing else really matters. What about money? What about careers? What about job? What about talent? What about church? Listen to me. I'm not saying those things aren't important, but the reason why we have talent and a job and personality and money and all of those things is so that we can love God more. And the more that we love God, the more we ought to love people. So I've got all this passion, all of these dreams, all of this love, and all of these desires. God called me to preach. I wouldn't want to do anything else than preach the word of God. I get to get up every Sunday and preach the word of God. And then come back a few hours later and preach the word of God. And sometimes on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, and sometimes on Saturdays, I get to travel to different places all over the country and different places in the world and get to preach the word of God. On Wednesdays, I get to preach the word of God. I get to be a pastor. I didn't pick myself. God picked me. I don't think he saw anything in me, but he saw if I'd let him inside of me, he could do something through me. And I want to thank God for letting me preach the word of God. So that kind of helps. I mean, preachers need passion. Amen. I mean, preachers got to think. Yeah. And it'd be a pretty good thing for preachers to dream. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We got to have some vision. And I'm not talking about eating too much and hallucinating. I'm talking about saying, maybe God, you could do this. Maybe God, you could accomplish this. Maybe God, you got something more for my family, something more for my marriage, something more for my church, something more with my life. I mean, if you never dream, if you never set goals, you'll never reach for your potential. So, all these dreams, all these passions, all this love, and all of these goals. So I would probably say the reason why I'm thinking all the time is because I'm trying to figure out what to do with all of it and how I can plug it in to loving God and loving people. Here's where I tend to end up. If I love God and I love people, then the best thing I can do to help people is teach them how to love God. Does that make sense to you? I'm just talking to you this morning. I mean, if I've figured out somehow in my life by the grace of God that the only way I'm going to make it in life is through Almighty God. See, he's the vine and I'm the branch. You understand? Every branch that abideth in Jesus beareth fruit. See, without him, we can't do. I'm not the smartest bulb. I'm not the wisest guy. But I've lived long enough and learned enough about life to know that if I'm going to go somewhere in this crazy, sin-sick world that is governed by the wayward ideology of Satan himself, I'm going to get there by sticking with Jesus. And if I really love him, and I really love people, then I got to hook them up with him. Yeah. Now, here's where the kinks come in the road. Some people ain't going for that. Now, I'm as convinced as I am breathing that God has the answer to every one of man's problems. No, no, I need everybody in every section to let me know you agree with that. That God has the answers to every one of man's problems. Listen to me, I'm convinced that the God of the universe that put the world in space, put the moon in place, that put man on a world that he had created, made from the dust of the ground, I'm convinced that he's not a God, but that he is the God. For all of you non-atheists today, I believe in Jehovah God. I'm convinced that the Bible is the written word of God, inspired, God breathed through and through. It is pure, preserved, prophetic, probing, preeminent, penetrating, piercing, profitable, perfecting, and precious. God is the very word of God from cover to cover. It's still the bestseller that man has ever read. It'll never be wiped out. It'll be never legislated clean. We'll never read the last copy of the word of God, because the God that wrote it has promised he preserved it. And I'm convinced it works. But we're living in a world full of knuckleheads. And Naaman is going to represent you and me in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm going to tell you why your pastor has trouble sleeping sometimes, or why your pastor doesn't want to eat sometimes, or why your pastor's mind's all over the place sometimes. Not because he's on medication, not because he's schizophrenic. I'm about to say not because he's weird, but I am weird. I'm going to tell you what weighs on me more than anything in life. Trying to help people who want to get help some other way than God's way. So I want to preach for a few moments. I want to talk to you. I want to preach to you. I want to help you. Now you say, Pastor, you say you want to help us. You act like we need help. Yeah, absolutely. You know why I know you need help? Because your pastor needs help. But the good news about preaching is not that we've got to have all the answers. God's not looking for wise people to use. The Bible says God takes his wisdom and confounds the wise of the world. See, I'm not up here because I'm smarter, intelligent, or gifted, or more talented than most people. I'm up here because somewhere along the journey of life, I've discovered that there's a wise God that avails his wisdom to foolish people. And it's not about being smart. It's about knowing he knows what he's doing. He's been where I haven't been. He is where I'm headed. He's all powerful, all knowing, all ever present, unchanging, and eternal. And his way works. Now, I will deal with the subject, doing it God's way. This story involves a real problem. Let's move quickly. I said this story involves a real problem. Now, Naaman. Naaman is the subject here in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman's no slouch. Naaman's no pauper. Naaman's no name. Naaman is somebody with a prestigiousness about him. Naaman is prominent. Naaman is powerful. But Naaman is in a plight. You see, my friend, I've learned that real problems don't just show up to poor people. They show up to rich people. Real problems don't just show up to black folk. They show up to white folk. Real problems don't just show up in America. They show up in every country. Real problems don't just come to Baptist churches. They come to all churches. See, if you're here this morning, sitting under the sound of my voice, you are already in agreement with the first point of this message, because you have experienced real problems. Number two, remarkable providence. Into Naaman's real problem, God set a little girl, a little maid, Now, the little maid was going through a personal trial. She didn't want to be where Naaman was. She wanted to be in Israel. But Naaman came into her country, took her from her family, brought him to his country so that her trial could lead to his triumph. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one word to describe that. That's providence. Come on now. Providence is when God sits back. He sits back like a puppeter holding the strings. He sits back like an artist with a paintbrush. He sits back like a sculptor that's using his hands. He sits back like a conductor of an orchestra, a director of a choir. He sits back like an engineer of a plan, like an architect with a pencil. He sits back like a director running a play. No, he's not the actor. No, he's not the clay. No, he's not the paper. No, he's the one that takes every actor and puts them into a big play, takes every instrument and merges it into a song, takes every stroke of the paintbrush and makes it into a beautiful picture. He takes every movement of the hand and sculpts it into a beautiful masterpiece. No, he's not the one in the picture. He's the one making sure the picture comes out right. And here she is. Come with us. Come with us. You're going with us to Syria. You think she wanted to go? No, but providence takes us places we don't want to go because it's God's way of telling us life's more about than just you. Real providence. She had a personal trial. She was a powerful testimony. She spoke up for God in a place she didn't want to be in. Somebody help me preach. Pastor, I don't like my job. Maybe God's got you in a job you don't like for somebody that needs to see Jesus. Pastor, I don't like my trial. Maybe God's got you in a trial you don't like so that somebody can experience triumph. I don't like being in the hospital. Maybe there's a nurse that needs to get saved. I don't like being broke. Maybe there's somebody that needs to see Jesus in you. I don't like being sick. Maybe somebody needs to know your God's real. Providence, number three. There's a reliable prescription. She speaks up. News travels. She must have had a testimony because nobody listens to maids so that their word gets all the way to kings unless that maid's got a testimony. And her word gets to the king, and the king finds out, and the king sends a letter to the king of Israel because his main man Naaman, who's the captain of his army, has a problem called leprosy, and nothing that Naaman has going for him will take his problem from him. So his boss, the king, is looking out for his captain Naaman, and the king sends a message to the king of Israel. Can you take care of Naaman? The king of Israel gets the message and says, who does he think I am? Am I God that I can heal him? Here's one king talking to another king, but all of a sudden they find out that there's a third king involved. There were two kings trying to handle a problem, and they were hitting heads trying to figure it out. But the third king didn't sit where they sat. He was the king sitting on the throne of heaven. And when two kings of earth can't figure it out, the king in heaven says, I got this. So somehow, through the providence of God, Naaman ends up back in Israel. Now, think about this. Israel was the place that he had first taken the maid from. Be careful who you kick. You might need them. My auntie Lassie said, be careful who you're stepping on the way down. Be careful who you're stepping on the way up. You might pass them on the way down. But be careful. All of a sudden, he ends up back at the door of Elisha. Pulls up there with his chariot, with his horses, and with his servants. He's got leprosy, and Elisha knows he's got leprosy. He's the captain, and Elisha knows about it. He's got all kinds of pomp and circumstance and all kinds of fancy chariots standing at Elisha's door, and Elisha knows about it. I'm talking about a dignitary that has pulled up to the house of the preacher man. I don't know about you, the average preacher in the United States of America 2017, when somebody walks into his church, that preacher starts getting everything together. He sends his best ushers back there to get that guy, give him a nice seat.
Let him know we're happy to have him here. Make sure he knows. Make sure the temperature's fine. Make sure that he's got some water if he needs it. Make sure the bathrooms look nice, toilet paper in the stalls. We've got a dignitary in the building. We would hate for somebody important to come to the building and not think we thought they were important. Elisha's got a dignitary at the house. You think he ran out there, threw roses on the ground, blew the trumpet, and said, name it. No, he sent servants, said, go tell him what I said. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be whole. Prescription. Here's a prescription. Authentic orders. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. An assured outcome. You'll be whole. Look at the verse. Verse 10. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this didn't sound good. This didn't seem good. This wasn't popular in Samaria, but nevertheless, even though it wasn't popular in Samaria, it wasn't normal in Syria. It was the word of the Lord. And lest you think that Elisha was speaking on his own opinion, in that day, the prophet of God spoke as the very voice of God. So when Elisha spoke, it was as if God was speaking. It was a reliable prescription. Look here just a moment. This thing is reliable. No, hear me now. This thing is reliable. And be careful, because a lot of Christians will call it reliable when they're not facing problems and dismiss its reliability once you tell them to start using it. Go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and thou shalt be clean. Now, I want you to notice what happened after this reliable prescription. There was a rejecting position. I want you to notice Naaman's reaction. The Bible says in verse number 11, Naaman was wroth. It's a Bible word for mad. What? Go do what? Now, wait a minute now. I said God's word is reliable. Please tell me. Why, if this word's reliable, people hear it and get mad. Now the Bible's very clear. The instruction that Naaman got came from Elisha, and what Elisha got came from God. If you're in a Bible preaching church where the man of God opens the word of God, then the instruction that you get from him is the instruction he's got from God. And the word of God is pure, tried 7 times in the fire. You are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to thy word. Listen, Joshua said, then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good. Listen to me now. The Bible works. Sudden. Listen. I want you to notice this sudden explosion. Hot. I want you to notice this senseless expectation. Listen to Naaman talking. Behold, I thought. That's your problem. Now, could I say something to you? If Naaman's thinking was effective, he would have never had to come to Elisha in the first place. I thought, tell us what you thought, Naaman. Okay, I'll tell you. I thought he would surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Naaman said, I've heard about these healings. I mean, maybe they've even done some of them in Samaria, in Syria. When I rode on my chariot today, showed up at this prophet of God's house, surely I thought he'd come to the door, he'd find me, he'd take his hand out, they'd strike up the band, he'd start to humming. hand. And he, all of a sudden, he take that hand. Do you want to be healed? Naaman. Do you want to be healed? Naaman. Do you want to be healed? Naaman. And a boom shakala. And surely I thought, now we're laughing at him. They sit in my office with the same nonsense. Pastor, I need help. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I'm failing. I'm losing. I'm broke. Come on, come on. Let's talk. Let's talk. Help me. I'd be glad to help. I'd be glad to help anybody. I mean anybody. Pastor, get me out of this mess. I'm pregnant. I'm sick. I'm hurting. I'm depressed. Okay, let me go to my medicine cabinet. Well, Pastor, I didn't even finish telling you all my symptoms. No, we got a pill that works for all of them. Hold on, I'll be right back. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. What the Bible didn't tell us what was wrong with the young man. It don't matter. Whatever's wrong with him, the word will fix it. And so I take out my pen, take out my tablet, and write down a prescription on the paper. What's wrong, man? I'm trying to help you. What's wrong with you? I thought you were just going to write a check from the church and give it to you so you can go back to your reckless spending so I can meet you again next month at the same time. I'm not trying to give you a fish. I'm teaching you how to fish. Amen. Well, I thought you were going to sign off on my already decided decision before. Listen to me. If you thought you knew what you're going to do before you came, you shouldn't have never come. Yeah, I'm trying to walk heavy. Selfish entitlement. I'm almost done. Because if I don't have you by now, I won't get you. But that's not my problem. It's yours. You can get mad with me all you want to, but you're going to keep your leprosy. Amen. And I've been there too, where I didn't like what somebody told me. But not liking it didn't change it from being right. Now go dip into Jordan. Here goes Naaman. Well. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all of the water? Doesn't he know that from Syria, where I come from, we've got clear, clean rivers? We captains don't have spas in Jordan. We dip in Abana and Pharpar. Now, here's what he's saying. Here's what he said. I know that, first of all, the preacher man didn't even come to the door. He didn't send his servant. Who do you think I am? And now he's got the nerve to tell me to go dip in a river. Listen, the Jordan River was dirty. So through a second man, second hand, he gives me this low down prescription. I'm better than that. You know, the Bible is really not complicated. And I think some people kind of, they look at me like I got eight eyes or something. Somebody said to me recently, I get calls, emails, contacts. I mean, every day. I mean, I guarantee you, while I'm talking to you, if I go to my phone, somebody, while I've been talking to you, wants to know how to get help. And then you tell them. And then they go, well, that's not really a good answer. Now the Kenny in me wants to go. If you're that smart, Einstein, why are you here? Elisha said, I told you. But you owe me better. No, we don't owe you anything. And you should be glad I'm giving you anything. That's what Elisha's saying. Here's the truth. We better be careful, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't come to God desperate for help and then mad by the way he tries to help us. I'm almost done. Reasonable persuasion. He's walking away. That's it. I'm going back to Syria. Come all the way down here. By the way, King sent somewhere around $100,000 worth of merchandise on the word of a little girl, and Naaman's got all of it. I'm out of here. I ain't coming back here. I don't like that preaching. Well, if you go to a Bible-believing church, it don't matter what county it's in, you're going to get the same book. So plan on being mad again. He's just like the last one I talked to. Yeah, he's getting counseling from the same source. Same book. So he had some discerning friends. They were servants, but I call them friends here. Naaman, I could see you acting like Naaman. You don't have to say amen. Naaman, if he had told you to go into a nice spot, you'd have gone. What's the difference from him telling you to go into a dirty spot? You know what they were saying to him? Whether there's a clean river or a dirty river, you a leper, man. And I imagine that, here's what I imagine they're saying to them. We have heard you complain about this itching, this scratching, this skin. You can't hug your kids. You can't sleep next to your wife. That's what happened when you had leprosy. You can't touch. You're the highest ranking military officer in Syria. And every day you've been the whole time up here. All you were saying, well, I can't wait till I get up here to this preacher man. He's going to get this leprosy off of me. I'm so sick and tired of all this stuff all over me. And now all of a sudden you've met the man that told you how to fix it. And you're about to storm off with a temper. You're too old for temper tantrum. And you're about to storm off with a temper tantrum. And why not do it? By the way, how many of us in here today made some good decisions in our lives because we had some discerning friends that said, you better listen. Now watch this now. For some of us intelligent men, that discerning friend was our wife. Honey, I think it's probably be a good idea. We don't say words, we just. What'd you say? How many wives in here, your husband grumbles? All men grumble, or we mumble, or we pout. So now you gonna tell me? Then he start doing this. Then tell me I don't need. I'm a grown man. I pay the bills around. You can tell me how I need to. And by the way, I was doing fine before you came along. Honey. It probably would be wise if you, come on, discerning friends. You know what they give us? Definitive facts. They remind us that if we let the temper get the best of us, we're going to go back home with the same problem we came with. Be careful, sir. You get in the car in a few moments. Honey, you missed your... I didn't miss the turn. I wanted to go this way. Shh. How many of you husbands have a helpful wife while you're driving? Would you raise your... that you think is not a better driver than you? Would you raise your hand? Later. Honey, did we make a wrong turn? You didn't make a wrong. Go on back to sleep. You didn't make a wrong turn. She's trying to help you. Preacher's trying to help you. Your friend's trying to help you. Come on. Your Christian brother to call you up and ask you where you were when you should have been in church. Don't get an attitude. Come to church. They're trying to talk sense to you. They had to listen to you bellyache about your problems long enough. Now that you got a solution, they're trying to tell you to take it. You've been talking about being broke. Listen to me. I'm telling you to tithe. Talking about having no joy. I'm telling you to be a soul winner. My wife don't listen to me. I'm trying to tell you, love her then. It's hard to listen to a man like you. Okay. Naaman says, you know what? You're right. Submissive obedience. Specific observation. He went to the Jordan and he dipped 7 times. You know what that tells me? You can't just do what God said. You got to do it the way God said it. Now, here go some of us now. Okay, I'm going on to that Jordan River. I'm telling you right now. I'm going. But I am not dipping in. God can heal me without put one finger in. He can heal me. Be careful. Because you don't get what you want from God unless you do it the way God said it. Fine, I'm going to church, but I ain't listening. He'd have still been a leper. I'm giving, not every week. I'll blitz, but I ain't going to be a soul winner. Okay, honey, I'll go. But I'm going to pout the whole time. No. I'm going to do it God's way. 7 times. Somebody say amen. 7 times. 7 times! And the Bible says, because of his right procession, there was a resulting product. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a glorious miracle. He was healed. Are you hearing me now? He was healed. There was a grateful mindset. There was a guaranteed message. He said, now I know. Listen to me. You won't know God until you obey God. I'm finished preaching. I won't talk to you again. Now, every preacher I talk to say the same thing. They want help, but they want help their own way. You know why I know they're telling the truth? Because I'm the same way. I've already decided before I ask God how I want him to help me. Instead of realizing, if I knew what I needed to do, I wouldn't have to ask God. Now, I'm preaching to people this morning. I guess it's afternoon. With real problems. All of you got real problems. Oh, Pastor, I don't have a real problem. And I don't have any real problems. Yes, you do. You have a real problem of lying, all right, about having real problems. Everybody's got a real problem. Could I tell you behind the scenes God's working? See, he got a little maid that doesn't even get a name in the Bible that might save your life. Huh? Stop looking at your problems and start looking for God's providence. And if you go to the doctor because you need help, don't get mad when he writes the prescription. I'm trying to help you. Now go fill it. And after you fill it, take it. And once you take it for as long as he prescribed. And when you don't feel like listening, listen to people that love you. And when what he said would happen, if you did what he said, happens. Remember, God did it. And he's the only one that can do it. And he deserves being thanked for doing it. Now, Elisha wouldn't take the offering because he was happy to do what he was supposed to do. But it doesn't change the fact that Naaman was grateful without being told. And shame on us to need God bad and God comes through and we act like he should have come through and give no thanks. Testify, tell somebody, give something, shout, praise the Lord, wave your hand. But for heaven's sake, don't be on the receiving end of God's blessings and not be on the giving end of praise. And at the end of the day, if life is always about God and people, and nothing we people do in life can be successful without God, then don't you think it's about time needy people got hooked up with an able God and quit trying to do anything any other way besides God's way? Our Father, I pray you help us. We all have problems. But we can't keep expecting you to fix our problems our way. You know what you're doing. And we can get all bent out of shape because you didn't do it in a way. God, I said to somebody recently, God's ultimate aim in life is not to make you happy. It's to make you holy. And he doesn't go before he tells you, is he going to like this? Is this going to be fun? The Jordan River wasn't fun, but it was a whole lot better than leprosy. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it because I got saved God's way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. I got saved God's way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. You may put it down. Of those of you that just raised your hand, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I got saved God's way. But I want to make sure that I not only get saved God's way, but I handle every problem in life God's way. Pray for me today. Would you raise your hand? All over the building. Now listen to me. You ought to come to the altar in a minute. Mind the Lord. Find a place on the altar, find a place in your seat, find somewhere. If you want to do it and you need to do it and sometimes you struggle at doing it, ask God about it. One more question. Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. I'm not 100% for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Be honest. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Let's stand together. Stand together. Father, would you bless every Christian in the building today? If anybody's lost, help them too. But Lord, help us to make the commitment today to do it God's way. In Jesus' name, amen.